items that affect the roof over your head, your bank account, and anything I feel would benefit you. But before we get into our intriguing content today, let me remind you, if you ever have any more finance-related questions, I am the consumer advocate looking out for you. And you can reach out to me directly, 800-306-1990, 800-306-1990, or ronsiegelradio.com. Just remember, that's the number you call anytime for assistance. When you call that number, it comes directly to me first. There are no operators standing by. I am it, and I am a little slow on the boards this morning.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
While I do have a great team when it comes to developing a financing plan or plan to save you money, I personally work with you, even if you don't have any needs today. Save this number in your phone for future reference, 800-306-1990, 800-306-1990. And yes, of course, we are celebrating today. We celebrate every day on Ron Siegel Radio, National Static Electricity Day today. No excitement there. National Law Enforcement Appreciation Day. Yeah, that's the one that we're going to go with today. National Law Enforcement Appreciation Day. We love our legal professionals, so our law enforcement officers. Always excited to have a day to honor them. They do such a great job for us all the time, so we're always excited to hear what our law enforcement folks are up to. Love honoring them. National Apricot Day. Well, if you're beating anorexia, that's probably not the greatest one for you. But hey, we'll take anything that we can possibly get our hands on. That is our celebrations of the day. Let's look at the markets. What are the markets always doing? They're going up 237 points right now, measured by the Dow Jones Industrial Average. S&P 500 up 20 points. The NASDAQ up 80 points. Oil down a little bit. Bonds, that's where we're going to have to really be careful of what's going on in the bond market. U.S. 10-year Treasury up a little bit. The German 10-year is up a little bit, still giving a negative yield. So you put your money into Germany and you don't get it all back. They've got a negative 0.21 interest rate there. So, yeah, probably not the place you want to put your money. Japan's finally got to be a positive number. We don't generally see a positive number out of Japan. It's been that way for a while where we haven't seen anything positive out of the Japanese on their interest rates. So it's 0.007. Basically, you're going to get your money back, nothing more. Put your money into Spain. I don't know if I want to put my money. Italy, Spain, not a whole lot doing over there either. Not a good example of places to put your money. But, you know, I did share earlier today, I shared on the socials this morning, that I was going to tell you exactly what's going on in the markets and why it's going on and how long we can expect this to go. You know, the Federal Reserve does not want us to believe they've got anything called quantitative easing. They don't want us to understand that idea. So they don't want to share that information. They don't want us to think that we are smart enough to understand it. But that's really the answer as to why we are seeing what we're seeing, why the markets continue on this one-way direction, this one-way pattern, only heading in an upward direction. So why is that happening? Well, the Federal Reserve started in October. They started putting $100 billion per month into the markets. $100 billion they've been buying treasuries. What do you think that's going to do to the treasury market? It creates a lot of demand. The price goes up usually, but what's happened and what we've seen, and this comes from a chart, if I can find the chart here, Peter Buchvar is the one that came up with this chart discussing exactly why the markets are doing what they're doing and when it started. So I'm going to see if I can find this. For some reason, it's not showing up in my gallery here, but I'm going to grab it. There it is. And we'll see if we can share that with you right away. Let's see if it comes up on my screen now. So basically what's happened is starting in October, we saw that they were putting all this money into the markets. Well, if the Federal Reserve is putting $100 billion into the market, obviously it's going to have an effect. It always has an effect. The issue becomes, when will that stop? Because they can't continue to do that forever, can they? No, they're not going to do it forever. Basically, what they said is they were going to do it for 6 months. Okay, so they do that for 6 months. Then what? What happens after the six-month period? Well, that's when we start looking at it. We say, okay, well, we got to be careful now, because, and that will be in March. Well, if March is the time frame that the Federal Reserve is telling us that they're going to stop, we never know. Again, we don't know precisely what the Federal Reserve is going to do. We never know precisely what the Federal Reserve will do, right? They've come out and they've told us that they're not going to allow a recession. Right? So they're watching that very, very closely to make sure we don't go into a recession. What are their tools? Well, they can use interest rates, but they don't want to keep lowering interest rates because they've already told us that that's a bad idea. Okay, so if they're not going to use the interest rates, then what will they be using? Well, quantitative easing. Oh, wait a second. Don't say those words. You can't use the term quantitative easing. The Federal Reserve has told us they're not doing quantitative easing. Well, maybe they're going to tell us they're not going to do quantitative easing, but what do you know when they continue to put $100 billion in buying these bonds? Now, when they're buying the bonds, they're buying $100 billion worth of bonds. The issue then becomes, where does that money go to? It's taking the concept of risk out of the market. And if you look at the screen that I just shared, if you're watching us on ronsiegelradio.tv, you'll see that back in October, we saw that the bond market was going in a dip. The stock market was going down. The bonds were going up. But all of a sudden, once they started this unlabeled quantitative easing, the stock market starts going up. The bond market starts going up. And you can see they've gone in a very, very consistently the same directions. I don't know what you want to call that. They've paralleled each other, all going straight up. So as they continue to go straight up, what's going to happen now? Well, when the Federal Reserve, if the Federal Reserve makes the decision that they're going to get out of the market, they're going to get out of the bond market or get out of the quantitative easing market, well, we're going to then start seeing the idea that we may see that the interest rate starts coming back down because there's not as much demand for them. We might see the stock market start correcting, and that's due in March. So I'm going to suggest to you, we may still be on the Federal Reserve high until March. That's probably the best guess. Now, the question becomes, being that the Fed has already told us that they're not going to do anything as far as they're not going to allow us to go into a recession, the issue then may come up and say, okay, Ron, what's going to happen after March? Well, the Federal Reserve is going to reevaluate what's going on. They're going to come back, and they may come right back and say the markets are going to start correcting. They don't want to be involved in that. They don't want to get involved in a election year being accused of manipulating the markets. So we may find that they get out of that market. They may get out of the idea they might just scale it back a little bit, or they'll say, we're not going to be buying anything anymore. What their commentary will be is, we're going to reinvest. So they're not really turning off their spigot of funds going into the markets where they're growing their balance sheet, but they're also not letting their balance sheet shrink. See, that's what happened before when they were raising interest rates in 2019. They didn't want to tell anybody what they were doing, but they were hitting the markets with a double whammy. And that's why it hurt the market so much. They were basically going and they were increasing interest rates, but at the same time, they were not reinvesting the funds that they got on their balance sheet. when they did not reinvest the funds, that acted in essence like tightening as well. So they didn't, that didn't work too well, doing the double whammy. So what they may end up doing this time is maybe they'll reinvest. Maybe they'll reinvest at a smaller amount, let a little bit flow off the balance sheet. We'll see what happens there. But that's the idea of the market. That's what we're starting to watch. I suggest you keep your eyes opened. If you've got that 401k, next couple of months might be a good time to, and I'm not giving any advice, so don't get in there. Good morning, Bobby Joe. I don't want to be giving you any kind of investment advice, but if it were me, you may want to consider for the next, 75 days or so, that might be a good time to be long the market. But after that, you might start saying, okay, I've collected what I can. Now I'm going to go back the other way and I'm going to watch and see, get a little bit more defensive at that point. Just a thought for you. Again, nobody knows exactly what the markets are going to do. We can just hypothesize. We can act like we know what we're doing. And the beauty that I have is I'm actually doing it on radio, so you can actually follow and see if I was right or if I was wrong when we come down the line. That's just the whole idea there. You are listening to Ron Siegel Radio, discussing your real estate current events and the financial markets. When we come back, got a great broadcast lined up for you today. We one of the most common questions I get has to do with credit and credit scores. So we're going to talk about how are FICO scores calculated, how payment history impacts your credit scores. Do you know about 95, 98% of the people that I talk to have the wrong way of paying their credit card bills? So I'm going to give you the right way if you want to maximize that credit card bill, if you want to maximize that payment for the purposes of your FICO score. There's a lot of different areas where you might be looking at your credit score. But when you're talking about from a FICO scoring standpoint, there is a best way, there is a not as good a way. And I'm going to give you the best way for your FICO score to pay your credit card. Not everybody's going to know it. Not everybody's going to watch it, but we will talk about it. I'll give you that information as well. Remember, you can reach me anytime. Our off-air number, 800-306-1990, 800-306-1990, or ronsiegelradio.com. Connect with us, facebook.com/ronsiegelradio, on Twitter, @ronsiegel. And if you miss any part of our broadcast, shame on you, but the replay is available, Ron Siegel 1 on YouTube. Ron Siegel, the numeral one on YouTube. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a few.
Home and Finance Show with local and national expert Ron Siegel. Now, here's Ron.
Welcome back to Ron Siegel Radio. Within every market, there are solutions as well as tremendous opportunities. You just need some trusted guidance. That is my message, and I will be delivering it every day on Ron Siegel Radio or anytime at 800-306-1990. 800-306-1990. The Mortgage Minute today being brought to you by our friends at Gold Star Mortgage. When you're ready for that next mortgage, Gold Star has the programs, the products. You need to make the phone call, 800-306-1990. What is happening in the markets today? We watch them for you every day. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, as I speak to you right now, up 206 points. The markets only go up. No, don't send me the text. Don't send me the emails. Don't call the regulators. I'm just jesting. We know that the markets could go down. They just don't, but that seems to be the way anymore. Maybe in March when we get rid of the quantitative easing, we might see the markets go down a little bit. NASDAQ, it's up 63 points right now as I speak to you. The 10-year Treasury, pretty much flat. 1.886 is the yield. That's up one basis point, not a whole heck of a lot. The bonds, they're up 5 basis points at 101.55. We've talked about that. The question is, why is all of this happening? What are the causes? Because as you know, the information I just shared with you, you can get that right there very simply on the super secret website. Yes, google.com, they've got it. What you're not going to get on that website, or it's going to take you a long time to find it, is going to be why this is happening. Why are these the issues as they are? So the question is, as we've talked about many of the items that are affecting the markets, right now we did get the initial jobless claims. So I'm going to grab that chart and see if I can do this on the fly. It's not the easiest thing to do is to grab a chart, put it up that isn't in our queue, but we did get the initial jobless claims today. I'm going to see if I can share that number, that information with you right now. But yeah, initial jobless claims came out. We saw the ADP number came out yesterday. That was a very good number. So the initial jobless claims, and I always get these the functionality here incorrect when I'm trying to put a chart up on the screen, but this is the individuals filing for unemployment benefits for the very first time showed that there were 214,000 claims. The level of 214,000 was in line with expectations, 9,000 lower than the previous week, which was revised slightly higher from 222,000 to 223,000. Claims have been hanging around this level and have been steady. But this is an early indicator that we want to watch for a recession. If we start to see this report spike higher, it could be a warning sign. But right now, we have not seen that happening. Largest decrease, California, 15,000, Texas, 3,600, Florida, 15,300. I shared with you the information about the Fed's balance sheet earlier. That is having an impact. I will also share with you that tomorrow we get the big Fed, the BLS jobs report. That is the big report that we're always watching every month. Usually comes out the first Friday of the month because of the holiday. And the holiday week, they didn't have that as the first Friday. It's obviously the second Friday, but that's coming out tomorrow. Prior number was 266,000. This estimates for this week, this month, 155,000. Unemployment rate was at 3.5. Expecting no change there. We are kind of careful right now because the ADP report was very strong yesterday, showing 202,000 job creations. And they increased their number from the prior month by 57,000, which brought it closer to the BLS figure. So right now we're being kind of careful with what's going on. If you are somebody that has been looking for an interest rate, you may not have anything to do. But if you're somebody that's got a house in escrow right now, as a loan strategist, I would say you may want to be locking ahead of the report for tomorrow. Might be in your best interest. Again, my recommendation is lock with no fees. Get the credit lock a little bit higher. Get a credit so that you don't have to pay any fees at all. and then be ready for the market change, which may come in March or April. So just be careful of that. Just throwing that out there for you. That is the Mortgage Minute, again, brought to you by our friends at Gold Star Mortgage. The Mortgage Minute, I should say. I've got to get that whole thing in there. They get mad at me when I don't give the whole piece of information. But hey, let's talk a little bit this morning. We're going to talk about your credit score, your FICO score. First thing you need to understand is there is a difference between a credit score and a FICO score. So more often than not, when you hear somebody referring or referencing a credit score, can you say Credit Karma, Credit Sesame? Most of the services that you're getting for free, those are talking about a credit score. They try to mirror what FICO is doing, but they can't quite get it right. They can't quite get to exactly what FICO is doing, but they try and think that they are. They want you to believe that they're one and the same. When you see that dumb commercial on TV, yes, that's my opinion, and it's a dumb commercial on TV. But when you see that commercial on TV that's telling you that I've got an 870 FICO or an 870 credit score, well, that's not a FICO score. At least it's not a FICO score in the mortgage world. I think credit cards might go up to 900 in the FICO range, but FICO for mortgage has a range of 350 to 850. Sometimes it's a 300 to 850. So if you have, hear somebody say, I've got an 855 FICO score, 855 credit score, they're confusing FICO to credit. Not always the same. Not all credit scores are FICO scores. Over 25 years, FICO scores have been the industry standard for determining a person's credit risk. Today, 90% of top lenders use FICO scores to make faster, fairer, and more accurate lending decisions. Other credit scores can be very different from FICO scores, sometimes by as much as 100 points. So be very careful when you hear FICO score versus credit score. I get a lot of people, our private clients will call me and say, Ron, I've got an 820 FICO score. And I say, okay, that's great. Then we go and run it and we find out that it was an 820 credit score, but a 730, 740 FICO score. So be very careful. Why is this? Well, some lenders just don't want to pay FICO to get their scores, to get their service. So they started trying to use, and this happened to be the bureaus, they tried to create another methodology to get it the same information without having to go to that expense. Did it work? Not really, not for the most part. We're still seeing most people want the true FICO score. If you're dealing with Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, they're requesting or requiring as part of the package to have a real FICO score in there. When they're looking at the loan level price adjustments, they're looking at a real FICO score for that as well. So be cognizant of what you're looking at, what is being requested, what is being required. We'll continue our conversation. You're listening to Ron Siegel Radio, discussing your real estate current events and the financial markets. When we come back, there's a long line of buyers waiting for your house. What's that mean for you? The 2020 real estate projections, that may surprise you. How FICO scores are calculated, how payment history impacts your credit scores, all that and more. You can reach me anytime. Our off-air number, 800-306-1990, 800-306-1990, or ronsiegelradio.com. Connect with us, facebook.com/Ron Siegel Radio, on Twitter, @Ron Siegel. And if you miss any part of our broadcast, shame on you. But the replay is available, Ron Siegel 1 on YouTube. Ron Siegel, the numero 1 on YouTube. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a few.
Siegel Lending Team offers you buying power. Let's say you can afford a monthly mortgage payment, including principal and interest, of around $1,900. With today's rate on a 30-year fixed mortgage of 3.75%, APR 3.85%, that payment could support a $416,000 mortgage. But if you wait and rates tick up to around 6.5%, which is roughly the average home mortgage rate over the past 30 years, that same $1,900 mortgage payment, including principal and interest, may only be able to support a $314,000 mortgage. That's over $100,000 worth worth of home you're missing out on by waiting. That's buying power. All you need to do to get started is reach out to the Siegel Lending Team at 800-306-1990. That's 800-306-1990. Or visit SiegelLendingTeam.com. That's S-I-E-G-E-L LendingTeam.com. Payment example excludes taxes and insurance. Call us for full details. 800-306-1990. That's 800-306-1990. Or SiegelLendingTeam.com. Equal housing lender. Licensed under NMLS number 217037.
Are you purchasing or own a luxury home? If you're like so many others, your home is your largest asset and the mortgage is your largest debt. The Siegel Lending Team has some amazing financing opportunities right now. Jumbo loans up to $2 million, 30-year rates below 4%, 15-year rates near 3.5%, and if you can believe it, 7-year interest-only hybrids in low threes. The Siegel Lending Team has all the options for your jumbo or second home loan requirements. Take advantage of them while you can. To learn more about all the other financing products available from the Siegel Lending Team, call 1-800-306-1990. That's 1-800-306-1990. Or visit SiegelLendingTeam.com. That's S-I-E-G-E-L LendingTeam.com. Again, call 1-800-306-1990. Rates subject to change without notice. Licensed by NMLS ID 217037 and 145502. Equal housing lender.
Homeowners that are 62 and older are about to find out a great way to live a better retirement. It's called a reverse mortgage, and SLT can help you learn more. Call the Siegel Lending Team at 800-306-1990 right now to receive your free booklet with no obligation. It answers questions like how a reverse mortgage works, how much you qualify for, the way to receive your money, and more. When you call the experts at Siegel Lending Team today, you'll learn the benefits of a government-insured reverse mortgage, how it will eliminate your monthly mortgage payments, and give you tax-free cash from the equity in your home. Here's the best part. You still own your home. Now is the best time to take control of your retirement. Call 800-306-1990. That's 800-306-1990 to get your free brochure. Call today or visit our website at SiegelLendingTeam.com. That's S-I-E-G-E-L LendingTeam.com. Or simply call 800-306-1990.
You're listening to Ron Siegel's Home Finance Show with local and national expert Ron Siegel. Now, here's Ron.
Welcome back to Ron Siegel Radio. Within every market, there are solutions as well as tremendous opportunities. You just need some trusted guidance. That is my message, and I will be delivering it every day on Ron Siegel Radio or anytime at 800-306-1990, 800-306-1990. In the real-time real estate segment today, being brought to you by the area trusted real estate professionals of Ron Siegel Radio, text NEST, N-E-S-T, to 79564. Find your dream home before someone else does. NEST, N-E-S-T, 79564. Find that dream home before someone else does. So we are looking at today, our conversation is, what do you need to know about buying that new home? What do you need to know about the buyers that are waiting for your house? Why are they waiting for your house right now? I mean, can you believe it that first full week of January, it's not necessarily the first week, but we were looking at the buyer traffic, and it's amazing. That's where we kind of start looking at when we understand what's exactly going on, is we look to the buyer traffic numbers to see what they're doing. That's going to kind of give us our first indication of what's going on in the marketplace. Where are we getting the buyer? Is there a big demand for properties right now? Is there not a big demand for property right now? Buyer traffic answers that question for us. So I'm going to show you a graph here of what's going on in the buyer traffic world so you can get a indication. Excuse me, I'll give you the little bit of a synopsis here. So people believe that the winter months are not a good time to sell a home. Realtor.com, senior economist George Ratio, sellers tend to be more reluctant to list during the colder time of the year when the typical typically makes a season slow down. However, a recent report showing times reveals how this year is different. Buyer activity is way up compared to the same time last year. The report explains, quote, the nation's 12.6% growth in home showings compared to 2018 was the most significant jump in buyer traffic during the four-month streak of the year-over-year increases. The West region saw the greatest growth in activity with a 23.1% jump, the region's greatest in the history of the showing index. The increase is spread across all four regions of the country, as the graph shows that I have shared on the socials earlier today, and that is also on the screen right now. Waiting for the spring buyer's market may be a mistake. It seems the purchasers are already out there looking to buy. We know that for a fact. We've been seeing this right along, that the purchasers are out there. They're out in full force looking to buy homes. The issue has been they can't find them, or when they go and find them, they're being out overbid again. We hadn't seen that for a while, where we had seen these bidding wars, but they are back in full force with the bidding wars, seeing that. We're going to continue watching that for you. We're going to show you even some ideas on what you might want to be doing to get your house in play for selling it the quickest and getting the absolute most money. And I'm going to suggest to you that the wisest thing, if you have a real estate professional coming to you and they're looking to negotiate, or they're telling you to be that they want to be the discount realtor, I'm going to suggest they're probably not going to be the one that's going to be in your best interest, because they're missing a key component. The key component on all of this is going to be marketing, and how are they going to get your house seen by the most people possible. So that's a big issue. That is the real-time real estate segment, again, brought to you by the area trusted real estate professionals of Ron Siegel Radio. Text NEST, N-E-S-T, to 79564. Find your dream home before someone else does. We're continuing our conversation on FICO scores. How are FICO scores calculated? So we need to know what goes into the FICO score to understand how it's calculated. And I'm going to tell you how to make your credit card payment to make it give you the most bang for the buck. But first, what's in my FICO score? They are calculated using many different pieces of credit data in your credit report. The data is grouped into five categories. Payment history accounts for 35% of your report. Amounts owed, 30% of your report. Length of credit history, 15%. New credit is 10%. Credit mix is 10%. The percentages reflect how important each of the categories is in determining how your FICO scores are calculated. In fact, I'm going to try real quick while I'm discussing this with you to see if I can get a picture here of your FICO score calculation. I'll see if I can grab that real quick. Percentages, though, tell you what the importance is of every one of these numbers so that you can know from a positive and negative standpoint, what do you need to know? What do you need to focus on? Right? So if you're looking at the chart, if you looked at what we shared with you, you're going to see there that the credit cards, your credit cards actually account for 65% of your score. When you add up the amount, your revolving debt, the percentages used, we'll talk about that. And when you add into it also the history, that 35% plus the 30%, that's going to tell you 65% is coming right there from that revolving debt. So you got to focus on that and make sure that you're keeping that current. You're doing the right things with that so that you don't cause any problems on your scoring model, right? Big, big issue. So let me get back to the report here. I think I got let me see if that picture came. Well, for some reason, our information coming in, maybe it'll take a second here to populate for you. So I can actually show you this chart. There it is. Actually, it takes my picture away, so that's even better. See if I can figure, there we go. So you can see the numbers that I just told you. They're right there on your screen. FICO considers both positive and negative information in your credit report. Late payments lower your FICO scores, but establishing or reestablishing a good track record of making payments on time will raise your FICO score. Your FICO scores are unique, just like you. They're calculated based on the five categories referenced on the chart and that I talked about a minute ago. But for some people, the importance of these categories can be different. For example, scores for people who have not been using credit long will be calculated differently than those with a longer credit history. In addition, as the information in your credit report changes, so does the evaluation of these factors in determining your FICO score. Your scores are not saved. So if somebody pulls your credit right now, they're going to get a score, whatever that might be. They're going to actually get three of them, your Experian, your Equifax, and TransUnion. If somebody pulls 2 hours from now, if something's changed on there, well, they're going to get a whole new calculation. It's calculated as soon as it's requested. Your FICO score is calculated only from the information in your credit report. However, lenders may look at many things when making a credit decision, such as your income, not shown in the credit report, how long you've worked at your current job, not shown on the credit report, and the kind of credit you are requesting. What do FICO scores ignore? What's in the credit report? So they're ignoring things that don't get reported. Rent, unless there's a special request, it does not get counted. Utilities generally are not counted unless it's a negative. So the first thing any lender wants to know is whether you've paid past credit accounts on time. That's why it is 35% of your score. This helps a lender figure out the amount of risk it will take on when extending credit. This is the most important factor in a FICO score. Be sure to keep your accounts in good standing to build a healthy history. Amounts owed, 30%. Having credit accounts and owing money on them does not necessarily mean you are a high-risk borrower with a low FICO score. However, if you're using a lot of your available credit, this may indicate that you are overextended, and banks can interpret this to mean that you are a higher risk of defaulting. In general, a longer credit history, that's 15%, will increase your FICO scores. However, even people who haven't been using credit for a long time can have high FICO scores depending on how the rest of their credit report looks. Your FICO score takes into account how long your credit accounts have been established, including the age of your oldest account, the age of your newest account, and the average of all of your accounts, how long specific credit accounts have been established, how long it has been since you used certain accounts. You need to keep those accounts active. Keep using them. You don't want them to go stale. Credit mix, 10% FICO scores will consider your mix of credit cards, retail accounts, installment loans, finance company accounts, and mortgage loans. Don't worry. It's not necessary to have every one of them. New credit is 10%. That's the inquiries that so many people are worried about. I don't want you to run my credit, Ron, because the inquiry is going to hurt me. No, that's not necessarily the case. Research shows that opening several credit accounts in a short amount of time represents a greater risk, especially for people who do not have a long credit history. If you can avoid it, try not to open too many accounts too rapidly. That is the big issue that we're always worried about when we're talking about credit scores. And we are going to talk when we come back about how to pay your credit card. We're going to talk about that one. I'm also going to give you the newest numbers that came out just this morning from Freddie Mac. They're talking about what the numbers show on their reports for mortgages. We'll also continue our discussion on FICO scores, all that and more. You can reach me anytime. Our off-air number, 800-306-1990. 800-306-1990 or ronsiegelradio.com. Connect with us, facebook.com/ronsiegelradio. On Twitter, @ronsiegel. And if you miss any part of our broadcast, Ron Siegel, the numeral one, on YouTube. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a few.
Are you living in the home of your dreams or simply where you think you can afford? Are you earning a
Finance Show with local and national expert Ron Siegel. Ron.
Welcome back to Ron Siegel Radio. Within every market, there are solutions as well as tremendous opportunities. You just need some trusted guidance. That is my message, and I will be delivering it every day on Ron Siegel Radio or anytime at 800-306-1990. 800-306-1990. The Your Credit Matters segment today being brought to you by creditsanitizer.com. You have a credit report. It is wrong. They all are. What are you doing about it? Credit Sanitizer has the solutions for you. You just need to make a call, go online there, check them out. Creditsanitizer.com. So we've been talking today about your credit scores, your FICO scores, not your credit scores, but how do you manage your FICO scores? We talked a little bit about the payment history already, determining 35% of your score. What goes into that is very important as well. First thing any lender wants to know is something about your credit history, namely whether your credit payments have been made on time. This is one of the most important factors in a FICO score. It gives it the heaviest weight. A few late payments are not an automatic score killer. An overall good credit history can outweigh one or two instances of late credit card payments. However, having no late payments in your credit report does not mean you'll get a perfect score, although I've never seen a perfect score. Your payment history is just one piece of information used in calculating your FICO scores. The types of accounts considered for credit payment history: credit cards, retail accounts, installment loans, car loans, mortgage loans, finance company accounts, public record and collection items. These type of events are considered quite serious, although older items and items with small amounts will count less than recent items or those with larger amounts. Negative factors include bankruptcies. They're going to stay on your report for 7 to 10 years, depending upon the type. Lawsuits, wage attachments. Is there any difference in how the FICO scoring formula considers Chapter 7 and Chapter 13 bankruptcies? Well, details on late payments. We're going to check on all of that for you. The bottom line here is, the answer to that is no. They don't count them any differently. But I want to make sure that you understand this part of it, because it accounts for 30% of your score. Paying your credit card the right way when you're looking to increase your FICO score. That's a big, big issue. So if you're looking to increase your FICO score, if that's something that's on your radar, something that you need to be doing right now, or you're contemplating, if you're looking at buying a house over the next 6 months, make sure you're watching how you pay your credit card bills. And I hear this all the time. Well, Ron, I don't really pay too much attention to it, because I pay my credit card bill in full every month. Well, guess what? If you're doing that, you may be doing it the wrong way. So I'm going to give that to you right there. Yeah, you got a buzzer on that one. I'm a little slow on the buzzer remarks today. So here's the issue. You may be doing it wrong. So if you have a credit card, I'm just going to use some round numbers here. You got a credit card that's got a $10,000 limit. And you do a lot of business travel, so you're constantly making sure that you're using that. You get your expense check, and then you pay it off. I understand that. A lot of people do the same thing. But here's the issue. If you pay it off the wrong way, then you could be causing a problem. What's the wrong way? Well, you get the statement and pay it. The credit card companies are basically reporting to the bureaus one time per month. There may be some that do more than that, but for the most part, they're reporting once per month. As soon as they report, that's done. When do they report? Well, they report as soon as they generate the statement. That's at the statement closing date. So say you've got a statement closing date of the first of the month. Well, they generate the statement. They send it to you on the first. They report it on the first. And say you've spent $9,000 on that bill that month, and you're going to pay it off. Now, you've got a due date of the 15th. So you say, okay, I'm just going to make sure I get it paid. I'll pay it right away. Right? So you pay it, and they get the check on, say, the 5th, or they get the deposit from your bank on the 5th. And you think that you've done everything right in order to generate that business, or in order to get a good credit score. Well, once again, No, you didn't do it the right way because they didn't report that $9,000 payment. Yeah, they reported as being on time, but next month, now you've gone through the whole month and you're spending all month. And now at the end of next month, you get there and you've got an $8,500 bill that you've spent $8,500. You paid that $9,000 on the first of the month. They generate the report. They send it in. They say, okay, you've used 85% of your available credit. That's the problem. That's where you're getting in trouble or it's not helping you. Right? So what do you mean by not helping you, Ron? Well, your 85% usage or utilization rate is not a good number for you. It does not help. In fact, it hurts your score because it's too high of a utilization rate. We want to keep that down below 30%. Okay, so what's the solution? How do we solve that problem? Well, the solution of the problem is pretty simple. On that bill that has a statement closing date of the 1st, go online about the 23rd or 24th, find out what the balance is, and send your check or do your online banking right then. Send that money in so that your $8,000, $9,000, whatever it is, gets to the institution before they generate the statement. So now you've sent that in there and you've got a balance of you know, $100, $500, whatever it is, because you're still spending money, right? So you don't want to have that balance there too much. So the balance isn't too much because you just paid it off. Well, they go and they report. And what do they report? Well, 10% utilization. 10% utilization is significantly better than that 90%. In fact, it's going to help your credit score. It's going to give you an enhancement to your credit score. So we want you to make sure that you're paying the bill the right way. And that right way, as I just shared with you, is continue to get those payments in before the statement closing date. Now, when you get the bill, it's going to still have a small balance on it, right? From the time that you sent the check until the date of the statement being generated, you've been spending money or there might be some pending charges, whatever. Well, you've got to address those. The way you address those is you make sure that you still send another payment right after you get the statement. Now, what my recommendation is for you to try and make sure that you don't have a problem ever, right, is go into your bank and set up an automated payment so that you're always, always, always sending, you know, $100, $200, whatever you feel comfortable with, that gets there right before the payment due date. So that's being done on an automated basis. When it's being done on an automated basis, you don't have to remember. And that was, yes, you are making two payments a month. But the institutions don't care if you're making two payments a month. It doesn't matter to them. It's just going through their automation. And it's going to help you in the long run. So I want you to make sure you're doing both of those things. And it's going to end up giving you an enhanced FICO score. That's just the way it's going to work for you. It's going to help you out in the long run. Now, those of you that are new to credit or you're trying to establish credit, there's a couple of different things. First off, we've got the opportunity of using an authorized user. If you get somebody, a friend, family, coworker, somebody that likes you a lot, and they'll put you on a credit card that they have. It's an old card. It's got a low utilization rate. So the comparison between the balance and the limit is low all the time. They set you up as an authorized user. It's going to help your credit scores. I have a private client that we saw get a credit score, a FICO score, go from 640 to 760 just by being added as an authorized user, because what's it happening? It's hitting 65%, right? It's an old card, so credit history is old, and the utilization is low, so that gives a benefit on both of those. And this happened to be somebody that had a very, very low or a minimal amount of credit overall, so it helped them dramatically. Now, the other part of it is if you're new to getting credit, here's a simple trick for you, another one, right? I would recommend 3 or 4 credit cards. Set them up so that your cell phone bill is paid automatically on one, your internet bill is paid automatically on another, your cable bill is paid automatically on another, Maybe an electric bill is paid automatically on a fourth. Then go into your bank and automatically set up a payment that goes to each one of those cards to offset the charge. Your cell phone bill is going to be relatively similar every month. Your cable bill is probably the same every month. Gas and electric, probably fairly similar each month. So pay those every month with an automation. That's going to keep those credit cards active. It's going to keep those balances low. It's going to help you out in the long run. That is some information just to give you benefits when we're talking about credit scores. So just throw some numbers out there for you, help you out just a little bit. And as always, we ask that that first radio preset button to come back here every day to join Ron Siegel Radio, where we only speak about items affecting your house and your bank account. Thanks to all of our sponsors. A big thanks to John, who's engineering us today. And of course, a special thanks to you for spending a little bit of your day with us. That's all for Ron Siegel Radio. Again, if you have any questions or to meet any of our guests, call me anytime, 800-306-1990. 800-306-1990, ronsiegelradio.com. And remember, make a lot of money so you can help a lot of people and have a lot of fun. Have a great day. We will talk to you next time on Ron Siegel Radio.
Pour me something tall and strong. Make it a hurricane before I go insane. It's only 12:30, but I don't care. It's 5 o'clock somewhere.